True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Take Command is presented by FanDuel Sportsbook. Make every moment more.
What's up, guys? I'm Jordan Robinson, host of the podcast, The Women's Hoop Show. We're heading towards the home stretch of the WNBA season, and there is so much to get into every episode. Twice a week, I'm joined by one of my amazing co-hosts as we dissect the biggest games, performances, and even some off-court drama. The playoffs are quickly approaching, and now is the best time to tune in. Who will come away as this year's champion? The competition is heating up, and so are we. Listen to and follow The Women's Hoop Show, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Anybody, anywhere.
It's time to take command.
The Cardiac Commanders are the Clutch Commanders!
With former NFL tight end, Logan Paulson.
This pass caught by Paulson, the tight end.
And from 106.7 The Fan, Grant Paulson.
Take Command, welcoming you in with Logan Paulson. I'm Grant Paulson. Thank you for finding us wherever you get your audio. This is downloadable multi-time a week Commanders podcast. Of course, you can watch us 106.7 The Fan and the Team 980 YouTube. So, Logan, we were hanging out after the game. We did a live breakdown of everything we had just seen. You've had some time now to digest some of the tape from the Commanders' season opening 15-point win over the Giants. So let's go offense first, and then we'll transition to defense, but starting with the Commanders offense, tons to like. They ran the ball really effectively.
Yeah, they ran the ball really well. And I think, you know, it's kind of the stuff we talked about in the preview show or kind of leading in, like how many backs are they going to carry? What are the touches going to look like? And it almost fell, you know, kind of exactly as we had discussed. Like there's going to be some for Debo, there's going to be some for Eckler, there's going to be some for Bill or whoever the second back is. And then also there's going to be some for Jaden. And I think you kind of saw that layout, especially in the first couple of drives. Jaden's got some zone read stuff where he keeps it. There's a design quarterback run in the low red. And I do think after watching this game, it really felt like to me there was like Cliff had a note in his head. It's like, hey, when we get in inside the 25, that's when we can get kind of cute with our run game stuff. Like the first run on their kind of long, it's their second drive, long drive down the field. They run this kind of Wanda action. Austin Eckler goes across. Debo's running the jet sweep. The backers kind of say, oh, the Debo thing's eye candy. And then Jaden keeps it and runs, and they have Ertz and Debo blocking out in front, and Jaden's running on the safety. So if it's single high there, they probably score. But then, you know, obviously the Debo Samuel touchdown is at the 20-yard line, essentially. So I think there was definitely like a marker in Cliff's head where he's like, hey, man, if we want to get to some of these more kind of creative design runs, like let's do it in the red zone and really make them count for points. So I thought that was kind of interesting.
Yeah, statistically in the game, they run for 220 net. They ended up as there's one game still ongoing on Monday Night Football as we record, but the number two offense in the league in yards per play at about 6.7 and the number two rushing offense in the NFL at 6.88. You know, I find it interesting. The only team that had more yards and more yards per play on the ground, Baltimore, where you've got the other of the superstar rushing quarterbacks in Lamar Jackson. I don't think that is a coincidence.
No, I don't think so either. I think it's obviously, like we've talked about this on the show too, like that there's a negative element to quarterback design quarterback runs. Because if you hand it off, like you're kind of designing, you're hoping the action of the backfield blocks a defender. So if you hand it off and it's a misread, it's going to be a negative result. But I do think in both of the teams you just referenced, the thing that really elevates is the scrambling. And obviously with Lamar, there's a little bit more design quarterback run element as a foundational piece of the offense. Here it feels like it's like the tertiary thing. There's like, you know, drop back, quick game, RPO, kind of, and then it kind of matriculates down into like design quarterback runs. Obviously Baltimore, that's a bigger piece, but I think Jaden Daniels had close to 70 yards rushing. It was like 66 yards, 68 yards rushing. And that's, I think a lot of that's on scrambles, just extending plays, getting out of the pocket. And that just, again, like there's a reason that, you know, in terms of EPA, that scrambles are considered such a valuable commodity because they keep you on schedule. They take you out of negative plays. You're not taking a tackle for loss or a sack and you're getting positive yardage. And so he does, and we've talked about this before, he does such a great job of doing that. So that 220 number, whatever that is, awesome number to see, but Jaden Daniels is a big driver of that. And also the fact that they're leading late in the game allows that number to be slightly inflated because that's when Bill gets his big 44 yard run, whatever that was. So
yeah, 68 of the rushing yards by Daniels. You mentioned the designed looks. You talked after the game about noticing that one of those was called by Jaden Daniels himself at the line of scrimmage, but they did get into empty by design, run him on a draw out of Cliff Kingsbury's headset at one point as well. And they, I thought, turn up the faders a little bit on that because last year it was 600 yards as a scrambler, which was number one in the NFL, and just a few hundred yards, you know, basically by design. And in this game, at least early on, the emphasis was the by design part. Although on the second and third plays of the game, he got 11 total yards and picked up a first down for them and moved the chains. One thing I noticed and I wanted to ask you about, I made note of this morning. So when you look at percentage of eight man boxes seen, so like the Eagles and Saquon Barkley as an example, he saw eight man boxes 67% of the time.
Oh, wow.
Just astounding, right? The next highest guy yesterday was J.K. Dobbins of the Broncos. I don't think they were trusting Bo Nix at all, Josh Jacobs of the Packers. But I bring this up to say, Ja'Cory Kroski-Merritt just 10% of the time got eight man boxes, which was 25th highest in the NFL. Only three guys that got a requisite number of carries to qualify saw fewer eight-man boxes. And I wonder, when you watched, why that was or what you saw. Was it when they were having him run the ball, or maybe what was ideal about the looks they were getting?
Yeah, you know, it's funny. Like, I do think a little bit of that stylistically what the defensive coordinator wants to do and what they think they need to do. And Shane Bowen, while he played, he ended up playing a little bit more man than I think he played at any point last year versus the Commanders. I think he is a split safety guy at his heart. And I think there's a lot of those looks where it's second and eight, first and 10, where he's in a too high shell behind the defense. And I think that kind of goes to his fabric more as opposed to saying it's anything that Cliff did. Obviously, there's some really cool designs in terms of Debo's backfield action that are pulling people out of the box, pulling people out of the count. But I think overall, that's more of who Shane Bowen wants to be and what he thinks is right at his core. And I think when you, just as a point of comparison, you compare this game to the Baltimore-Detroit game as an example. I don't understand this, but the Bills are in too high almost that entire game. And if I'm playing Detroit, that's literally like the last thing I want to be doing. But again, that's something that they chose stylistically that would be advantageous. So I think a lot of that is just kind of game plan specific in this case. And obviously the Commanders were able to capitalize.
A couple of more notes on Ja'Cory Kroski-Merritt. He had 3 10-plus yard runs, which was, you know, essentially 30% of his carries in the game going for 10-plus. Brian Robinson, we talked about in the past, you know, didn't hit those 10-plussers, right? And he was ranked outside of the top 85 in football in his time in the league at percentage of his carries that went for 10 or more. Bill obviously hit the 42-yarder that you referenced. That was with a couple of minutes left, backed up at their own 5-yard line on a second and medium. That would have been their second longest carry of last season behind the 50-yarder from Austin Eckler. And my favorite rushing stat in terms of the nerdy numbers, but I think you can kind of talk about this from more of a scouting and tape standpoint, is rushing yards over expected with the chip data, where they see like what was blocked and what you could have and should have gotten if you're not making people miss. He had the second best numbers this week in all of football, 3.9 yards per attempt over what was expected for him based on blocking. When you watched it, you called something out to me that I went back and looked at. I thought was really cool. Even on the 6-yard touchdown run and around the corner, when I watched that, I was like, oh, that's just, he's untouched. That's like easy money. Anybody scores there. He kind of bounces that with burst. Like,
yeah.
Maybe B-Rob or somebody, not to pick on him, but like slams that into the line of scrimmage. And right. His patience and then some juice there helped him. I thought there were a bunch of runs like that when I went back and watched, in terms of him actually setting some things up that looked in real time like, oh, that's just a football play. Like, no, that he made plays and missed three guys, you know, made three guys miss, forced three missed tackles in the game.
Yeah, I think the thing that sticks out to me is in your analysis there is the word set up, because I think that's actually what he's doing, and that's actually what makes him special or different than other runners we've seen here recently, is his ability to, I kind of make the analogy, like the hole you're going to get in the NFL is maybe 12 inches, you know, 8 to 12 inches, and the back has kind of got to wedge in there, square his shoulders up, and go hit that thing. And when you watch Bill, like, he really understands, hey, I need to press this block a little bit more. I need to take this linebacker out. Once this guy's connected, I'm so good with my footwork. I can be pretty much right on the blocker's back before I make my cut. And then I can squeeze through this tight crease with shoulders square and get 7 instead of 5. And I think that's really what makes him unique. And again, like, good runners do that. And we're still so early in his career. I don't want to crown him as like this amazing, you know, top 5 running back in the NFL, but he does have a quality that as a blocker, I know I appreciated blocking for. It's interesting. I was talking to Fletch today. We were doing the booth review podcast with Bram and Fletch, you know, kind of the game day crew on the radio, talking through some stuff. And one of the things Fletch reminded me of was when I was in college, Eric Bieniemy was the running back coach. Maurice Jones-Drew was the running back, and he used to make EB used to make Maurice Jones-Drew come into like the offensive line, the tight end room, and apologize for not setting up blocks correctly. And it's something that a lot of young runners don't understand. But I think you see Bill's ability to do that. And the other thing that is underrated about his game, as you mentioned, the burst, it's when he sees it, there's no hesitation, right? There's no hesitation in hitting the crease. It's like, I'm here, I see it, and I'm going. And there were a lot of times with guys that I played with and guys that I've watched since covering the team where that crease opens up and they're just late to it. And it closes so quickly in the league. I mean, that was one of the things that was incredibly impressive about the Giants defense. Not to get on a tangent here, but Dexter Lawrence is so good at football. His ability to play over top, close gaps. Abdul Carter, I thought, had a similar effect. Nothing showed up in the stat line. No tackles for loss, no sacks, a couple, whatever. But it's a lot of it is because of how Austin Eckler, how Bill Kroski, Matt Merritt run the ball, and how Cliff kind of sets some stuff up to maximize that offensive line.
Deebo Samuel's debut couldn't have gone a whole lot better, Logan. The numbers stand out because he was the most targeted receiver with 10, caught 7 balls for 77 yards, long of 21. He had just one official carry. Another got negated by penalty. But his only carry of the game was that vintage Deebo 19-yard touchdown in the red zone, high red, where he takes on a couple would-be tacklers and sheds them on his way to the end zone, hell-bent to score. When you go back and watch how they used him, what did you make of just the fits that gave the Giants and the bind that it put them on?
I just think it's such a nice weapon to have. You know, you can throw a screen. I think it was it's a play that no one's going to remember. It was like a third and 15, third and 19, something like that. Throw a little slammer screen. You know, he takes one step up, comes back to the ball, the two receivers next to him block out, the offensive line's out, and you're like, oh, that's going to be a 10-yard gain. And so I think it was a second down play. It gets you to a third and 11, and it's a manageable down and distance for this offense. And I think they end up converting. And just those little – there's a check down that he throws early in the game where he's running like a flare route, and it's first and 10. He's a 7-yard catch and run, and it's second and 3. And those are the moments that I think where you really see his value. Instead of getting tackled for a gain of 2, it's a gain of 5. Instead of getting tackled on the screen for a gain of 1, it's a gain of 9. Instead of getting tackled on that touchdown run, you know, at first contact, which it would have been about a 10-yard gain, he breaks two more tackles and scores a touchdown. And so I think when you see his utilization and his skill set, you say, man, and I mentioned this on the post game, it was so impressive to watch how Cliff said, hey, we're going to have you run these deep crossers, these digs, but you can also be used in kind of this gadgety way. And so his seamless integration of the offense, I thought was really cool. And I just can't wait to see what it becomes, because it is such a weapon. It puts the defense in such conflict. I was pulling clips for the Command Center show, which will come out on Friday this week, and just watching the different backfield actions and how every single time he's moving, the defense has to be like, okay, there he is. He's going here. We got to check this and do this. And that happens, I think, with most motions and most shifts, which is why they're so effective in the NFL. But I think it's even ramped up to the next level because of how dangerous he is with the football in his hands. So if this continues to grow and continues to develop, this offense is going to get so much more dynamic. And so, you know, we always talk about best case scenario for a player when they're signed here as a free agent. And I think you see that and you say, man, this first game, if this continues, nothing could be much better than that.
Yeah, 6 of 7 of his catches, by the way, took place between the seams for 73 yards. He ended up being targeted on 36% of the routes he ran, which if you use all the games from last year playing the full season, it would have been his second highest target share game dating back to the beginning of last year. So a lot like we expected based on camp in the preseason, like there was an efficiency to their usage of him. When he's on the field, he is heavily involved. Specific to like how they used him on some of the deep overs and some of those things, do you think like there's weeks where they major in that and minor in some of the stuff in the backfield? Or is it going to look like it did this week in their ideal situation every week where he's doing a lot of both?
Well, I think it probably looked with the pass game the way it did, partially because he's the guy that's been there during training camp. And I do feel like Jaden understands him and has a level of trust with him that he's still developing with Noah Brown and Terry McLaurin because of the time they missed in training camp. And so when you see Debo run this over and it's a little contested and a little bit murky, Jaden trusts that he's going to take a certain angle coming out. He trusts that he's going to create the separation required to complete the ball. And especially versus man-to-man coverage, Jaden really leaned on him very heavily because in training camp, that was the guy he had to lean on. So I do think for the first part of the season, that's going to be a big feature of this offense because of his ability to because of the trust level that he has with Deebo Samuel. So in terms of what you're talking about, is it going to kind of change week to week? I think this is the offense for the immediate future until some of these other guys get up to speed and are playing the way that this offense needs them to play.
Logan Paulson, Grant Paulson, take command. Looking back at the Commanders' 21-6 win over the New York Giants. Otherwise, on offense, those are some of the positives. Negatives to pull out of this thing. I wonder what you saw when you go back and you look at a dozen penalties. 7 of them came on the offensive side of the ball. What'd you see?
Yeah, I mean, first off, I'm just incredibly impressed with how this Cliff, I don't know if it's something they emphasize, they can overcome these negative situations. You know, they're in 1st and 20 and they get a first down on that drive. They're in 2nd and 15 and they find a way to get a first down. And Cliff, it's really an inspiration watching him call these longer down and distances. It's just, to me, it's not tenable moving forward. And when you hear Dan and his post-game presser, talk to Dan today for the game plan show, which is the show that I do with Coach that airs on game day, you know, they understand that that's not a tenable way to play offense. And when they play better teams, that's something that's got to get corrected. And so I think ultimately, as a coach at the high school level, as a player who played in the college and the NFL, that's something that you got to clean up. The pre-snap processes. Again, this is week one with kind of everybody on deck. You know, Terry, Noah, Zach's out there for the first kind of real game experience. They didn't do a whole lot in the preseason. You're going to be working through some kinks with it. And I think you saw a little bit of that. And so I'm hoping that with the more time on the grass, the more practice time they get, the more game time, more in-game reps they get, that stuff gets cleaned up. Because, like, you know, you've watched enough football, Grant, to know that that's just something that can't stand. So in some ways, it's good that it happened. You can learn from it, and it's happening in a win. because it makes that correction a little bit easier. But it's definitely something to keep an eye on, I think, moving forward.
Yeah, there was one specific. There was a second and 19, I remember, for Washington, where they get 13 to Terry McLaurin. They set up a third and six, and then Jaden scrambles and picks up 11 for a first down. They actually got a defensive hold in there as well. The next thing you know, boom, you're cooking with grease. You're down to the 12-yard line. That's one example of a few, but constantly, that when they were in those long downs and distances, it never really got to third and long very often, although they had an and 16 where they get a 16-yard completion to Debo. Beautiful play where Jaden's rolling right, throwing back across the grain to the left. But I remember the draw. Was that the one where he called his own number? I'm trying to think. There was a long, like they needed 17 or something. And he called. It was actually right before the half, maybe, that one that backfired because they didn't have the time. But like he gets right away, makes the decision, I'm going to go, and he gets almost the entire distance. So it's now third and short. It's almost like you're playing pool, like one shot ahead.
Yeah, I think that it really is great how they're calling games. And he actually checked to both of those, and I got to see that when I was watching film. Wow. So he checked to the draw in the red zone, and they had some type of look.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and sugar-free. First-round picks like watermelon, wild berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Type of front spacing, 2-3 techniques, three.
What do you think it was? Like, what leads to him looking at that going, all right, this is me?
I think this is something that's come up over the last couple of years. And I saw it. I remember the first time I saw this look was with Sean McVay and Jay Gruden in 2014, where you're in like a third and eight situation and they come out in 2-3 technique. So a 3 technique is when the defensive tackles are lined up on the outside shoulder of the guard. So usually you get a 3 technique and a 2-eye, someone inside the guard, or a shade, someone on the outside shoulder of the center, to kind of limit the space. And so that's kind of a run sound.
On Tuesday, August 26th, it's FanDuel Futures Day, a new holiday for football fans. It's 24 hours of deals on all your football season predictions. So take a flyer on the MVP race. Jaden Daniels is 10-1. Crown your champion in August, the Commanders, 19-1 odds. Or parlay your division winner dark horses like Washington together. Mark your calendars. This is your day for your hunches and hot takes, your calls, and your odds. Visit the FanDuel app today and start planning your futures bets now. Because Futures Day is one day, and one day only. FanDuel, play your game.
Must be 21 plus and present in Virginia. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Spacing of your defensive line. But when you get those 2-3 techniques, you really open yourself up to stuff up the middle. I think a lot of Commanders fans will remember a couple of years ago when they, who were they playing? It was probably the Giants, actually, when Ron Rivera was the coach. They get into two-three techniques on passing downs, and I think it was the Bears and the Giants would just run duo, single back duo with the tight end, and just blow those guys off the ball because there's a natural running crease right there. And so instead of them having to shift the back in the backfield or motion the tight end over, you just check to a basically a quarterback trap. You trap the three technique. You kind of get on the highway, hit that thing going downhill. The first one in the red zone that you're talking about probably would have been a touchdown, but Abdul Carter makes an absolutely tremendous play to kind of run Jaden Daniels down. For it ends up being a gain of 8 or 9, but still great play by him. But love that ability, his ability, Jaden, to recognize that and call those plays in those moments. And it's kind of a fun little wrinkle of the offense.
What did you think of communication from what you could tell from an offensive front that wasn't together really in any preseason games, in a unit that had 4 snaps as a starting offense? And even in that case against the Bengals, 5 of 11 guys didn't go.
Yeah, I was actually really impressed, quite honestly, with the offensive line. I went back and watched every snap, and obviously there's a sack by Connerly. There's a couple pressures here and there, but I think on the whole, I was like, Brandon Coleman at guard, I thought, looked pretty solid. There's times where I think he's getting a little overextended, and you know, he's having a hard time sitting the bull from his hips. He's a little bit leany, so that classic bending at the waist as opposed to bending at your knees when you're stopping power. But you see his length, you see the strength. Laremy Tunsil, man, like, I've watched him over the years, and it's just so cool to get to watch him every week because he's putting on a masterclass in terms of pass protection. Like, he is a savant, man. He's just always in relation. He's always on the line. The guy's trying to hit an inside move. They're trying to run an ET, for example. So N comes in first, picks the guard. He plays back out. His footwork's so good. He's able to flatten the end down, and the guard's in a bad spot. Coleman's in a bad spot because he tried to kind of jump set. And he is so square. He's able to get a hand on the end and a hand on the tackle, and Jaden's able to get the ball out. That happened twice in this game. And so you talk about a playmaker at the offensive line position, like, that dude did the job. Josh Connerly, I thought, played pretty well. I think he's still getting used to pass setting for Jaden Daniels. I'd have to confirm this, but I think Jaden is setting in his drop a little bit deeper than Sam Hartman or Josh Johnson. So getting used to that new launch point and what and how Jaden likes to be in the pocket is something that he's going to adjust to. But I thought there was great competitive play strength. There's great quickness, great athleticism. And I think the more I watch him and the more I watch him develop, I feel like the Commanders have something special there. I'm not anointing him after week one, but tough matchup. Thought he played well. Allegretti was incredibly solid, and so was Biotis. So that group, actually, after watching this game, I felt like it was one of the more consistent performances. And again, there were some negative plays, but on the whole, I thought they did a really good job.
Sounds like what Yuri Val kind of checks out with PFF's grading. They didn't have anybody have more than 2 pressures allowed. In fact, they had Brandon Coleman, Nick Allegretti on the interior, both with 0 pressures allowed, specifically, you know, in the pass rush grading that they do. Going back to your point on Jaden Daniels, just to double click on that, well, if you're not dropping to this, you know, the depth that's exactly the expectation, can that be okay? Like, I remember when I covered you guys back in the day with Robert, you know, he would, in a 5-step or a 7-step, he'd be a step or 2 further back.
Yeah.
And, you know, if Tyler Palumbis or somebody, that's a deep cut here for people that can remember that group.
Deep cut.
But, like, if they're running people back behind there thinking he's supposed to be stepping up in the pocket or 2 feet further, now it's a sack. And I remember guys would never say it publicly, but they're like, you're killing me for giving up 2 sacks. Like, he's not supposed to be there. Can that be okay? Or is that something that Jaden has to do better? Or we're okay with that?
This is one of the great things of doing the show, is like, that's my initial reaction, because I played on that team. I remember those conversations with the offensive linemen and how frustrated they were. And I remember talking to Allegretti as he came off the field, because, you know, I said, oh, 230 yards rushing, great performance by you guys. And he was like, and I said, what's it like playing with a guy like Jaden Daniels? And he goes, you know, it's really special, but I got to talk to Josh, because it's like, it takes some getting used to his play style. And, you know, how you got to play and how you got to pass protect. And so, obviously, you're talking about, it's the same thing, you know, Morgan Moses, one of my buddies, he played with Lamar Jackson. He said you had to get used to where he was going to be. It's not a conventional quarterback spot, because sometimes he's escaping out the back of the pocket, which is kind of a no-no. But when you're an athlete, you can get it done. Sometimes he's stepping up, but it's kind of a shallow step up. So, Morgan said, oh, I need to change how I set. I need to be a little bit thicker than I normally am because of the flexibility Lamar gives. And I think that's what Allegretti was alluding to, is maybe he's a little bit deeper, but maybe he does it so he can step up more violently into the run lane. And just getting used to that style for a pass protector can be very challenging. And it's something that I'm excited to see over the next couple of weeks. If Connerly and the rest of the offensive line, I mean, those guys all looked great. And so did Connerly too. But if they can get used to that together.
Well, another reason, though, why those guys, and I think most people love Jaden Daniels, is the accountability they're in, too. Yeah. Like, he's at the mic after the game talking about, I need to do this better. I was a tick off. He's acknowledging that, you know, on some of those middle of the field throws, he was a beat behind guys. I saw, I think it was the Connerly play. He was tapping his chest going, my fault. That's on me. That's on me. Like, the Connerly sack, Logan, I thought was actually on Daniels. Would you agree with that? To me, that was one where he held the ball too long. Quinn said after the game he thought that was an issue on at least one. When I went back, I thought maybe there were two of the three sacks where the ball could have come out faster or should have.
Yeah.
And maybe I wouldn't even pin it on the line, but you tell me. You're the
No, I think that's a fair assessment. And I think if you were to ask the offensive line, they'd be like, hey, we got to pass protect better, because that's what good competitors do. They say, put that on me. And I think they would all give you the same answer. But I do agree, there was a couple where he holds the ball a tick long and, you know, the coverage, the concept isn't there down the field. And I think that's one thing I'd say about Jaden in this performance, which, again, I think a lot of people are like, oh, you know, he looked a little off. Like, I had a bunch of texts after the game. Oh, looked a little off. It wasn't quite himself. And to me, the thing that makes him so good is that he's very good at not putting the ball in harm's way. And so I almost like that he takes a sack in some of these situations, like not all the time, but in some of these situations, because you're protecting the football. The defense is playing really well. I don't know if he understands that in the moment, but from a 1,000-foot view, from an analyst perspective, and as a guy who coaches in high school, like, your defense is playing lights out. All we have to do is not turn the football over and make sure that we're winning the field position battle. And I think there's an element of that, like when you see him play. So I know a lot of fans don't want him taking sacks. I don't want him taking sacks, but there is a time and a place where taking a sack is the right play. And I feel like in some of those moments, it was the right play.
All right. Speaking of the right play, defensively, they made a lot of them. They were dominant. 6 points allowed in a game where they suffocated the Giants up front. Let's get into that side of the ball next on Take Command. Logan and Grant Paulson with you.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and sugar-free. First-round picks like watermelon, wild berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab 3 of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app, available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carman Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.